Psalm 92, we note that this is a psalm. We do not have an author given, a human author. And it's noted that it is a song for the Sabbath day. How apropos, anytime we sing it. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Well, as we think on this psalm, it fairly easily divides into three kind of unequal parts. In the first three verses here, we see the praise of God. It's not giving thanks for what he does, it's praising him for who he is. And we see the psalmist moved here by the power of the Holy Spirit to think upon what a great God, what a wonderful God, his God, and our God is. Now, when you love someone, when you truly love them, be it your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, your brothers, sisters, a friend who's like a brother, when you love someone, you are thankful, of course, for the things perhaps that they do for you. You're thankful for the things you can do for them as well. But you love them for who they are, not what they do or don't do. You love them for who they are. Well, here the psalmist is moved, and all believers really are moved to love God for who he is and to praise him for that. And so it is that the psalmist is moved by the Spirit, say, it's good to give thanks to Jehovah, to the covenant God who's first loved me. It's good to do that. Not merely like, well, this is a good idea, or it has some moral good to it, but it's delightful to do. It's delightful to do. It's like talking about, at least for some of us, a chocolate cake, a well-made chocolate cake. When we say it's a really good cake, we don't mean necessarily that it's technically well done, and someone followed the directions, the well-done directions and ingredient list for how to make it. That would be a good cake, I suppose. And it's not merely that it looks good and it shows up nicely on a display, perhaps for a county fair. It's good because I really love it. All right? It is just so yummy and wonderful and chocolatey. Well, for some of you, that doesn't appeal, but it does for some of us others. All right, so we praise God for who he is. So does the psalmist. That's in verses 1 through 3. In verses 4 through 6, we see thanksgiving then for what he does, just in general, as we see his power displayed in general. For you, O Lord, or you, Jehovah, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Now, we can look around at the great creation around us. We can look within to the admittedly flawed, the admittedly marred image of God, but there it is in a broken form. And we are moved to give God thanks for what He does. In fact, we can begin to look at the fact that He upholds all things by the word of His power, and He upholds His righteous rule. And that's something for which the godly give thanks. Verse 6 there is kind of a transition to the last section. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Understand what we've just talked about, and understand what we're about to talk about. How God does indeed put down the wicked and raise up the godly. In fact, He has done this most explicitly in the one who is speaking through the psalmist here, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's anointed one, God's Messiah, God's Christ. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. It's a lot easier to mow a lawn, or it's a lot easier to see where you're going when it's up a little bit than if it's all fairly short. When it's up high, it's easier to mow in some respects. In others, yeah, it clogs up the mower and all that. But stuff grows up high in order to be cut down. The wheat comes up after a long winter. It comes up, it heads up, it then matures and becomes a golden brown. And it's time for it there at its maximum height to be, you might say, mowed down. To have the combine come through the field. The reel goes round and round, the cutter bar goes back and forth. The wheat's brought in through all the processes to the grain bin, and then the grain, well, everything works out that way, but it's when it's come to its maturity, when it's come to its fullness, and so it is for the wicked. They're not really the wheat, they're the tares. But in any case, the wicked spring up like grass, but it's so that they may be destroyed on high, or they may be destroyed forever. In contrast to them, Jehovah is on high forever. His enemies perish, the workers of iniquity are scattered, and the godly, in particular, our Lord Jesus Christ, is lifted up on high Himself. Say, He said that He would be. He said that He would be when speaking of the death that was to come to Him when He so spoke. That He would be lifted up on high and would draw all men to Himself. And so, Christ's horn is exalted like a wild ox. He is anointed with fresh oil. No, more than that. Anointed with the Spirit in all fullness, of course. He sees His desire on His enemies. His ears hear the desire of the wicked who rise up against Him. As all His enemies are scattered. We sometimes sing about that in Psalm 68. But then there are others for whom He has lived, for whom He has died, for whom He is resurrected, for whom He is working as mediator now. The righteous flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That's a picture here that we have in several places in Scripture. We can think of Psalm 1 picturing the righteous that way like a tree. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Yes, everlastingly, we shall be continuing to bear fruit. We'll be fresh and flourishing forever and ever. To declare, for that will be what will be in our mouths and in our hearts, that the Lord is upright, our rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. After all, He is both just and justifier of the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Well, it's because our Lord Jesus Christ endured all sorts of things. It's because He experienced this, of the putting down of the wicked, the ending of the reign of unrighteousness, and the establishment of the godly in His life, death, and resurrection, that we can apply this to ourselves. It may be that the wicked before us shall flourish for a time, whether we think of personal enemies, personal assaults, personal affronts made to us for Christ's sake, or the difficulties that the church as a whole faces in our own land and in other places throughout the world. The simple fact is that the wicked are allowed to grow for a while in order that they may be all the more easily cut down. The righteous shall be made to flourish in due time, and Jesus Christ shall be exalted. Well, as we sing from this psalm, let us praise God for who He is. Let us thank Him for what He does. And most especially, let us thank Him that He has set His King on Zion's hill, and in Him we reign also. Psalm 92C is what we're going to sing. It's the one version we have here of Psalm 92 that goes through the entire psalm. Psalm 92C.